Christ. Now I'll give you 3 minutes to copy this down.
What?
Sorry.
I'll give you 3 minutes to copy this diagram down.
Take a photo.
Take a photo. Well, make sure you can rejoin in the exam.
Just understand. Screwed up.
Okay, so in the so basically this is a layout plan of the binnacle. Every part of it has spiritual significance. You can first draw the big rectangle, and you can draw the gate first. Inside, when you come to worship God, you go in through the east gate. Remember, east is always the most important direction in the Bible. Not north, not south, not west. East is always emphasized. I'll give it 3 minutes. You don't have to draw as beautiful as this one, okay. Just make sure you have the main item. It's okay. The main items are burnt offering, altar of burnt offering. The second item is the bronze lava. And then the second item is this part, which constitutes two places in this rectangle. These are the sanctuary. This is outside, right? This is not consider inside. So this is the most, this is the holy place and the most holy place. Inside the sanctuary or the holy place, there are three items: golden lampstand, show bread, and altar of incense. And there's one veil in between the holy and the most holy place. And the most holy place, there's only one item, is the Ark of Covenant. So you can draw it. Give you 3 minutes to draw it first, and then we'll explain why the Exodus spent so much work describing this, and what's the significance. Ever finished drawing? The main point is the tabernacle . Every part of it is talking about Lord Jesus and his work, his saving salvation work. Now let's first talk about the gate. You have to go through the entrance to enter the tabernacle. Where in the Bible said Jesus said, "I am the gate of the sheep"? I am the gate of the sheep.
我是羊的门。
Last year we talked about that. Do you remember when we studied the Gospel of John? We talked about seven I am.
Now we can relate this to this. John, an idea?
John chapter...
John chapter 5, which verse? He said, "I am the gate. I am the gate of the sheep." Chapter 10, verse. Can you read loud?
Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep."
Yes. Chapter 10, verse 7.
"I am the gate of the sheep."
Now, of course, as we enter here, this is the place where the priest will slaughter the animal
brought by the people. So this altar of burnt offering is where the cruel place is, where all the animals come to die. And of course, that refers to Jesus on the cross. So Jesus, the crucifix, the altar, is the cross. And of course, this is a place where they wash, make sure they're ceremonial clean. But that's not too much significance. But the real job, the real significance, only allowed by the priest to go inside. First, the priest every day will go inside this portion. Remember, only priests can go inside, not even Levites. He have to go to replace the bread, light the lampstand, and burn the incense. That are the three daily jobs of a priest. And of course, the bread. We have talked about that. John chapter 6, Jesus is the bread of life. So Jesus is the true living bread, which can satisfy hunger soul. Incense. Represent prayer, Jesus' intercession. Priests every day burn incense. This is the act of prayer. Because in the past, people don't pray in tongues, but people offer incense to God. So Jesus always intercede and pray for us. Where in the Bible says so? Jesus always lived and intercession for us. Hebrews, which chapter? Find it, try to find now. Good, good try. If you have underlined your Bible, we'll be able to find it. Chapter 7, 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Next. Hebrews 7, 25. Where were we?
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Yeah, for he was also able to serve the those who come to God, since he always lives to make intercession for
them. Intercession. Jesus is always burning this incense of intercession for us.
Even after today, Jesus is still praying for you and me. If we are too weak, even no one can pray for us. But Jesus is still praying for you now. So never lose heart. Jesus is always there.
And the golden lampstand, the light, the lamp, referring to Jesus as the light of the world. Where in John, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Yes. One. Where is it? John chapter. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But this is not important. But this is not enough. The light of the world, the bread of life, and intercession is not enough unless Jesus sacrificed his body. Because there is a veil always separated between the most holy place and the holy place. This veil is Jesus' body. And this veil has to be broken. And in the book of Hebrews, directly say, this veil, when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, this veil was physically broken. But that veil referred to Jesus. Where is it? This veil is the body of Christ. Yes, Jody? 10:20, yes. Hebrews 10:20, the veil. Hebrews 10:20. Jesus had to break his body. This veil has to be broken so that we can go directly into God. And since then, we can directly approach God without fear. They used to have fear. Why? Because this place, who can go inside? The priest. But the priest cannot come in here. There's only one person can come in here. Who is he? High priest. There's only one high priest in one generation. But even the high priest cannot go every day inside the most holy place. There's only one day in a year the high priest can go. Do you know what day is it? It's called a Day of Atonement. In Hebrew words called Yom Kippur, which means Day of Atonement. This is a 7 month, 10 days of the religious calendar. Only once a year that the high priest bring the blood, go to the most holy place, offer the blood to God, atone the sin for the Israelites. Only that day he go inside, he will not die. If you go one day earlier, or if you go one day later, God will kill him. He will not come out alive. That's the Old Testament. But when Jesus broke this veil, no one will ever fear to come to God anymore. Everybody can directly approach God, straight to the throne of mercy. Which Bible verse says that? Book of Hebrews again. Let's all have no fear. We can directly approach the throne of mercy. Because he is our high priest, he is the most merciful one. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Next, please read. After Jesus broke his body, now we can directly approach the throne of mercy.
the throne of mercy are on the ark. There are two cherubim. That place is called throne of mercy. So we can see how Exodus related to salvation. Right? So you have to understand the whole part, the whole portion. So in your exam, you shall be able to illustrate this part in detail with Bible verses. That's not too difficult because I already given you all the answer. So once again, the exam, you can open Bible. You can even draw this diagram on the in the Bible. You can write down all the Bible verses in the Bible. But you are not allowed to use your Bible. Okay. You're not allowed to go to your notes, but you can copy whatever you want in the Bible. You cannot refer to your camera, sorry. It's good for your personal record. But you have to solely rely on your Bible. Any question? This part I spend more time because that is one of the most important theological concepts in the Old Testament theology with the New Testament. So the entire priesthood, no matter it's Levi, the priest, or the high priest, tabernacle, even Solomon temple, all referring to Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, through his church today, that he achieved this. Any question about Exodus? Of course, there are many other details. And another major point about Exodus is the law of Moses. Or the covenant brought by Moses down to the people. Just turn to chapter 24. Verse 12. Exodus 24:12. Next. Tablet of stone. Where is Old Testament written? On stone. So Moses had to bring down a lot of stone, huh? Not only the Ten Commandments, but he had to write down everything about the law. So commandment, the law. So this is Mosaic, if you write down. This is called Mosaic Covenant. Hotel is spelled Mosaic. M-O-S-A-I-C. Mosaic Covenant. This is actually not a new covenant, but rather is furthering the covenant with Abraham. They are not individual new covenant, just an extension or illustration, telling more specific how God will save the people. And telling more specific about the duty of human being. So always about two parts, right? The God's part and our part. So this brings into Mosaic covenant in Exodus chapter 24. So now we have already how many covenants? Noah's covenant, Abraham's covenant, and now we have some Mosaic covenant. So with these three covenants, that's pretty much all the major covenants of the people of God to Israel. Pretty much all day. It's already quite clear forming it. And the Leviticus is only to illustrate, to make it more detailed about what is inside. Any questions so far about Exodus? Then please turn to Leviticus. Leviticus.
the original Bible, the Hebrew Bible, Leviticus was not called Leviticus, actually. Is it another name called
Vayikra?
Of course, obviously, it's not an English, and it's a Hebrew word. Means, and he called. Because it's the first book of Moses, the Hebrew Bible used the first sentence, the first word to name the book. So, as he called is literally the name of the Hebrew Bible of Leviticus. But later, the Bible translator make it called Leviticus because it's think that actually the Levites. Leviticus means related to Levites. There are 12 tribes. There's only one tribe which can do all the priestly job. But actually, this translation is not very accurate because not every Levites can go inside to do work. Only specific group of Levi can go inside. Who are they? They have to be priest family can go inside, right? But who should be they from? They should be the son of Aaron. So not every Levites are allowed to go in. So actually this name is not really accurate. But the Latin Bible they translated this already for a long time, so we call it Leviticus. Actually, it's about priesthood. The whole book is about priesthood. Of course, for the priest to lead the people to bring to God, they have to give them three different kind of instruction. The first instruction is about worship, which means five kinds of sacrifice. In order to build relationship with God, the act that human must do is called worship. But what must they do in worship? What must they bring? What are different kind of worship? What is the purpose? It's mentioned about here. Five kinds of different worship. The second is about moral value, or they call it moral law. This one we can call it sacrificial law. Sacrificial law about how to offer sacrifice. Moral law talk about the moral, the interpersonal relationship, the guidance to behavior. In order to be called God's people, there are something that are allowed, but there are something is not allowed. This is really related instruction about what does it mean to be God's people. Because going back to the first point, there are many Canaanites, but they worship false gods. They worship more than one god. But in order to be God's people, you should know to worship only one god and how to do it properly. And point two is about how to conduct properly. After you worship him, you go home, you're living in society, what is expected of you? So about guidance, about behavior. The third one is called the hygienic law. How to spell hygiene? H-Y hygiene. Hygiene.
H-Y
H-Y-G-I-E-N-E. Hygiene law. or hygienic law. Hygienic law, hygienic. Wai sheng le. What does it mean to be clean or unclean? This one is more about human relationship. The second one is more about human relationship. For example, what are the closest relative you can get married, but what are not? If you are too close, you cannot get married. Those are moral law. You cannot marry your cousin, for example. It's mentioned in point two. Especially in UK, right? Before I heard that in UK, before you like someone or date someone, you have to ask your mom, is he my cousin or... Just want to make sure, don't fall in love with him and find out, oh, actually, he's my cousin. So painful, right? I heard about a story like that. So you want to make sure you don't marry your close relative, otherwise, the God is angry with you, right? Or you have a defect baby. So this is about moral law. And you're not supposed to marry your uncle's wife. Even your uncle is dead, you're not supposed to do it because she's your auntie. Anyway, this is called moral law. Okay. So hygienic law is about what is clean and unclean. What you can eat, what you cannot eat. As a Jew, as a chosen one, you cannot eat everything. You have to show the people that I am a special people. I don't eat pork. Pork is dirty because the nature of pork is dirty. Or the fish without scale is dirty, I cannot eat it. So these are the three sets of regulations. But there's a theme of all this. No matter it's through worship, sacrifices, or through moral law, you cannot marry a certain person, or you're supposed not to sleep with other people's wife, or whether you are abstaining from eating pork or shrimp. You know, shrimp is dirty too, right? Shrimp is unclean in the Old Testament. All this are pointing to one theme. Is to tell you that God demands holiness for His people. God will do His part as a God to take care of you, to watch over you, bless you, give you land, nations, descendants. But you have to do your part. And your part is you must be a holy nation, holy person. And your family must be holy. So this holiness is the very important key concept in the book of Levites. So when you study this book, mention about this point. The theme verse is in chapter 11, verse 44. 11:44. Next. Hebrews 11:44. Next, please. You read German Bible. Leviticus, sorry. Leviticus 11:44. You can read in German. I really like how German sounds. It's really fluent, really beautiful. So, be holy, for I am holy. Underline this verse in the Bible. That is the theme verse. All God wants is holiness from His people. And that is the only way to distinguish that my people is different. So the same thing today, brother and sister, you're living in this world. God also demands the same thing for you. All the brothers, you're lucky for you because you slept on the other building last night, right? But all the sisters here. How many sisters did sleep actually last night? I think all of you were woken up. Did you sleep well, sister, last night? Wow, good, powerful. Last night, 11:30, when I was about to sleep, I was thinking, oh boy, next door. I think there are two parts, right? First is the cafe or the club, and then is the biscuit factory, the studio. They both having party. Wow, dancing, rock and roll, and then all that. I was thinking 11:30, okay, hopefully by midnight it will stop. I lie down, and it didn't stop. And then I didn't sleep well at all. I just all the noise and the heavy bass.
Yes.
Even to close the window, no use. And then I was not really sleeping, but I think, okay, look at the watch. 3 o'clock in the morning, still dancing, still partying. Come on. And then I lie back. Another time I look, what's the watch? 5:30. Still dancing, still rocking. My night is gone. So, and then look at 6 o'clock, I cannot wait. And then I went up to go to the toilet. Look at outside, there are 2 guys waiting for a taxi to come. Maybe they got drunk, they just one is peeing on the road. The other one's kind of almost throwing, and they have a can of, and then a taxi coming to pick it up. And then I lie back, still hearing some music. 7 o'clock, still doing it. Almost crazy. Right, that is called what? Party animal. In America and in Canada, we call them party animal. Right? Do you use this term in UK here? Party animal? I never really know what is a party animal. I only know the terms, right? But really, these kind of people, they don't even sleep. They sleep in the daytime. The whole night they are partying. Why they can go on for partying so much? Because alcohol and drugs, they must use drugs, otherwise they will not get them high so much. Without drugs, you get tired, right? You need drugs. Rock and roll star, they all use drugs. Otherwise, they cannot be rolling their head like crazy. For me, I think do it once, I die. But for them, they can be an animal, like Lady Gaga. The first time I saw Lady Gaga, I didn't even know it was Lady Gaga. And then I was on a plane, and then the lady next to me watching MTV, I was kind of peeking. Like, oh, what is that? Why is that person like an animal crawling on the stage and doing so like, strange things? Well, actually, it's Lady Gaga. So now all the young people, they love the music. Not only Lady Gaga, but many similar even musicians, so-called. But the music in the world, the movie, the media, the internet, right, and the partying, the drugs, the sex, the indulgences, they are all trying to pollute us. We are the children of God, but if we are not following God's way, very soon we got assimilated to this world. Why Israelites, they're able to keep the nations? From time of Moses almost until now is almost 4,000 years old, 5,000 years ago, right? 4,000 something. But they're able to still keep the nation. Why? Because they keep strict this 3 portion. For us, this is no use right now. But you have to go back in time to understand, to really appreciate. God gave them this 3 law, really save their identity. If they don't keep this 3, they'll be long lost in human history. There will be no more Jewish people now. They'll marry outsider. Now, why they're so important to not to marry unbelievers? If Jewish people, they marry unbelievers, of course, marry unbelievers were not mentioned here, but supposed to be here, right? More. If Jewish people marry unbelievers, within a few generations, they all gone, they disappear. But why Jewish people, they can retain their race, the special, unique way in the history? Because they really emphasize, they don't want to marry a non-Jewish. They don't eat pork, because they know by controlling your appetite, it really reminds your identity. Can you imagine the shrimp, the barbecue pork, so nice, right? But if you tell yourself, no, I'm not eating it because I'm God's people. Of course, we don't need to do this in the New Testament. But the Old Testament really saved them, really tell them that I am God's people. And I'm not supposed to marry or sleep around because I'm God's people. I have to worship the true God. I have to go to Sabbath. I have to offer sacrifice 3 times a year. Because I belong to the true God. So these 3 parts can translate into today your life. Right? think about that, you are the modern Israelites. You are the modern Israelites. How these three applies to you, right? I'm not saying that you need to be a clean freak, huh? Is it called clean freak? Clean pig, I'm God. Clean freak, I'm God. Say that, oh, you wash your hand 100 times a day. JP, huh? You don't have to be like that. But at least you have to know, okay, wow, I shouldn't be watching this, right? Because it's not holy. This kind of video is not holy. I'm not supposed to watch it. This kind of person, I'm immoral. I'm not supposed to be dating outsiders because they are not even moral. Right? Can you imagine? For example, if the outside guy come after you, or outside girl really show interest to you, right? Want to date you. Of course, we know that we shouldn't have any relationship with them. But even if you get married with them, it's not even moral. Even if you say, okay, I want to date outsider, I want to marry outsider, bring them to church. But in God's eyes, it's not even moral. You know why? If you marry an outsider, unbeliever, even you officially you marry. But think about this. Before you marry her, let's say you are a guy, you are a brother. Before you marry that lady outside, she may have slept with a few people already. Because nowadays, it's difficult to find virgin outside church. The average age in America, yesterday I read, the young lady in America have sex is 16 years old. I think UK may be a bit earlier even. 16, 17 in the society is no virgin. Unless you're really religious. But now the young people, they are not very religious. Now, if you're a brother, if you marry unbeliever lady, even you want to marry officially in the city hall, but by the time you marry her, she may have slept with 3 or 4 or 5 persons already. The same as sister, if you marry unbeliever, by the time she marry you, he already slept around for a few rounds of different dating people. And you marry an immoral person. In God's eyes, I'm not sure how God look at us. So this is very important. Keep ourselves holy is the theme. This life is very short, right? A few decades ago, now you're very young. I look at you, I think about 20 years ago, myself. You'll be very soon to be my age.
Rebecca, right?
You're 20, right? Rebecca, you see how old you are? 19. When I first came to Canada, 1992, I was 18. The first NYTS I attended in America, I was 19. And now I'm 40 already. This year I'm 40. So very soon you become 40. You see your belly getting bigger, your brother losing some hair. The first time I come to UK, YTTC, was 10 years ago. The generation that I shared, I taught, now they grown up, they married. And very soon you become like my age, and I'll become like my father's, my parents' age. So, life is very short. We want to make sure we please God. Live a life pleasing to Him. The book can be divided into two sessions. Chapter 1 to 10 is one session. We can say it's called Worshipping the true God. We don't have time to go into the 5 different offerings, but basically the first 10 chapters tell you how to worship God. In order to worship God, you must know how to offer sacrifices. But now we don't have to remember all the details, because who is the real priest? Who is the real priest? Yes. The real priest is Jesus. But now we only have to offer one kind of sacrifice instead of 5. According to the New Testament, what are the only kind of sacrifice which is acceptable by Lord Jesus Christ? Where is it? Living sacrifice. Where the Bible says we have to offer? Living sacrifice? Yes, very good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Next, can you read? Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
we don't have to remember all the details. Of course, every single detail will have spiritual significance. But in the New Testament time, offer ourselves, our body, keep holy, don't commit sin. Use your body to serve God in the church, preach the gospel, help our church work. Whether it's cooking, driving people, driving preachers, washing toilets, doesn't really matter, right? Everything you can do with your body, do it. Living sacrifice. Chapter 11 to the end. Chapter 11 to 27. 11 to 27 is walking with God. How you worship Him is not good enough. But how do you walk with Him in your daily life? These two parts show you how do you walk with God. Not only in your mouth say, oh, you bring gifts to God, it's not good enough. But this part, your moral value, how do you conduct yourself, the way you keep yourself pure, is the way walking with God. In New Testament, there's one person which can really teach you about how to walk with God. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us you should walk in the Spirit, and then you'll please God. So that's pretty much summarize the structure, the theme, the theological significance of the Leviticus. We have still 1 minute. Any questions so far concerning Exodus, Leviticus? Is it 1 minute? Are we starting at 9 o'clock or 8:50? 8:50, right? So 1 minute, 10 seconds. Anyone have any reflection, sharing, or understanding about? No homework for you now, right? I know you have a long day already. Do they need homework or?
You said one, didn't you?
Oh, sorry?
Didn't you say one?
Oh, yeah, there was one. There was a grand one about all this comment. But it's so easy, I give you all the answers already. Okay. So, let's conclude tonight class. Really thank God you can still keep awake for a long day. Hopefully, by God's grace, tonight we can sleep better. So let's all get up and pray together.